all over me.
I know God is God, and God don't ever change. I know God is God, and He always will be God.
God upon the platform, He's God at the back door. He's God in the amen corner, and He's God that I adore.
I know God is God, and God don't ever change. I know God is God, and He always will be God. I know God is God, and God don't ever change. I know God is God, He always will be God. He'll be God through all your sickness, He'll be God through all your pain. He healed the sick when He was on this earth, and today He'll do the same. I know God is God, and God don't ever change. I know God is God, He always will be God. I know God is God, and God don't ever change. I know God is God, He always will be God.
Oh, look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done.
He healed my body, He healed my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise His name. He saved me just the same. I'm gonna praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, He touched my mind. He saved me, oh, just in time. I'm gonna praise His name. Each day is just the same.
To praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, He touched my mind. He saved me, oh, just in time. I'm gonna praise His name. Each day He's just the same. I'm gonna praise Him. Look what the Lord has
done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look what the Lord has done. Praise His holy name. Woo. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. Aren't you glad for the name of the Lord today in His Spirit? I'm thankful to be here. My name is Chad Neptune, and many of y'all know me. I've been here a lot of times, and I love each and every one of you, and so thankful for the opportunity just to spend time with you this weekend. And glad that the Lord has allowed us to be here today. And we appreciate your pastor, Brother Smith, and his wife, and their family, and Brother Wanager, all those years that we came up here and visited you at our youth meetings. And I said our youth meetings, because those are mine too. Not just yours, but all the work that you did. Thank you so much. All the years and all the time and effort that you put in, it made a great difference in my life today. And you saw Noah come up. That's my son Noah. Raise your hand. Say, praise the Lord, Noah. You know, praise the Lord. He came up here, and that's a product. I'm so thankful today that that my family is here, and we can worship the Lord with y'all today. And thank you for Andrew and Brittany for letting us stay with y'all. We love them very much. And, you know, Brittany is special in our heart. You know, he came down there to Texas and stole her away from us. But she's in a good place, and we're glad for the Lord today. And I'm very thankful today just to be able to walk in his presence and lift my hands to him and sing praises to my Creator. And just to be able to lift my hands and worship the Lord. Yes. To be able to lift my hands and feel something come back from heaven. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that Jesus went to Calvary and died for me, aren't you? Yes. I'm so glad in that song we started off with, Sheltered in the Arms of God. I just felt something from the moment that before when Brother Weiniger was, before service, he was telling me, he said, do you remember the last time you saw me? We was leaving the camp meeting, and he said, and I asked him a question, and he just told me, he said, just pray. When you said that, I started feeling the Holy Ghost before we even began to sing that song, and the Lord was just letting me know today, hey, you're sheltered in my hands. I'm still God. I'm still God. I'm still God when you're going through the valley. I'm still God when you're on the mountaintop. I'm still God. And you're sheltered. Aren't you thankful today that we're sheltered? Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful today. Just to be sheltered in your arms, Jesus. Hold me in your arms, Lord. Hold us today. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. I love him today. I love him more than when I first started. I love him more. He knew me before I ever knew him. His love reached out to me. And I'm just so thankful that Brother Talley was talking about being led by the Spirit. And I'm thankful that we can be led by the Spirit today. That we can feel out after God. We can look for him and we can seek for him. And we have the opportunity. I am thankful I'm in a place today. I don't know where else I could go to be able to find a place that I could be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That I could be led by His Spirit. That I could just try to follow after Him. And it seems like I've been working a lot. And I told Andrew, has anybody ever felt like that? You just been on autopilot? You know, you get up, go to work, you know, work all day, come home, you know, eat, play with the kids, give them baths, go to sleep. Get up, go to work, come home, eat, give them baths, go to sleep, you know, go to church, and you just feel like you're just on autopilot, you know, and you just feel that way. But then to come in, just, there's sometimes when, like I felt this morning, the Lord was just saying, Chad, I love you. That Spirit was just coming down in such a way that he was saying, you're sheltered, I'm holding you today in my arms. I'm holding you, even though you haven't seen it, even though you've been feeling like you're on autopilot. I've been carrying you. I've been holding you. And I'm just thankful today. My heart is overwhelmed with praise. Can we give the Lord a praise right now? And just say, thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you from the very bottom. Maybe it's been a while since you just said, thank you, Jesus. Since you just raised your hands and said, I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes we just need to thank him. Sometimes we just need to praise him. Sometimes we just need to tell him how much that we love him. It does something for us when we begin to praise. And we begin to lift our hands up and just and magnify him for who he is. And it does something for us. It's not that he needs the praise, but we need to praise him. We need to praise him. We need to worship him, not out of that autopilot. Not out of just because we're going to come and sing three songs and somebody's going to get up and take prayer, but to feel that unctioning of the Holy Ghost moving.
Hallelujah.
Down on the inside.
And I'm very thankful. I mean, I was really short. I was short. Like, I was 16 years old, and people thought I was 12. Right, there we, hey, I'm on now. You're not going to have a problem hearing me before this is over. That's all right. Wow, okay, I got some volume now. And I remember coming up to the prayer line, and someone just reaching up my hand. I had a tippy-toe to put my hand on their forehead to touch them and pray for them. But I had a lot of first experiences here. Kim, did we meet? I think the first time we met was in this building, wasn't it? We sure did. First time we met was here when we were probably 16, 17 years old. It was the first time I met my wife here. And I've had a lot of good experiences and over the years, and God gives us those things to remind us the times that are hard, the times we're going through, when we're in the valley. You know, the most beautiful things grow in the valley. The most beautiful things. You get up on the mountaintop, there's not much up there. But the flowers and the beautiful things that He creates are in the valley. And sometimes it's so hard to look up. You're on autopilot, you know. Get up, go to work, come home, mow the lawn, you know. Go get ready for church. It's just like, you know, you get the days start running together. But to come in and to be able to worship our Creator and follow the Spirit, not knowing what's going to happen. You know, that's one of the things I love about this group of people. About the church you've walked into today, there'll never be another service like what we've had here today. It'll never be just exactly like it was, but the next service, it'll be a little different. The next service, it'll be a little different. And God gives us fresh manna, and He gives us fresh things. And I remember coming through the prayer line and praying with people. And that did something for me. When you begin to forget about your own needs sometimes and reach out and praise and reach out and worship the Lord and reach out and pray for other people, a lot of times your need will be met when you can't even reach out for yourself and you can reach out for your brother or your sister and your need will be met. And I'm thankful for that. And put that second song we sang up, that chorus. I've never heard that chorus before, and I love that. God can do anything. And that's kind of, isn't that a little ironic that the theme of this service, how it's going, and then my sister getting up and giving her testimony how God can do anything with anything. I'm telling you, that was a move of God. Now, don't get the big head, Krista, because God will pop it. But that was the move of the Lord. When she said, God can do anything with anything. Did you know that video has been viewed several thousand times on the internet? I mean, that has been viewed over and over and over. And I was thinking as we were singing this song, my God can do anything. And He made the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And He took void, and out of nothing, He spoke into existence. Through His beloved Son, began to use Him as an instrument. And someone said that God was the author and Jesus was the brush that He used to paint creation and begin to do those things. And how great a God is He that He could speak into existence from things that were from void, the things that we breathe in the air and the things that we touch and feel. And that's wonderful, and He's a great God for that. But look at the next line. I begin to think, how great is God? How great is our God? If you could put that back up there for just a second. And that next line in that song, that God can do anything. He made the world and all therein. And I thought, well, He's a great God. He's a great God. But He cleansed my soul from every sin. Hey, that's a greater work right there. That God sent His only begotten Son. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful today for the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that He came and God sent His Son into the world. Hallelujah. It was made an offering for sin. And He gave His Son for us that we might have life today. You and I can have life today because of His Son. Hallelujah. He spoke the world into existence, but He did something greater. He sent His Son that He might live inside of us. That He might live and breathe, and we in Him we could have our being. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad today? I'm just thankful. My heart is so overwhelmed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He can live inside me. that he could send his son and he could send the Holy Ghost here today. I'm just overwhelmed. My heart is just so overwhelmed today in what he's done for us in sending his son. I mean, that was a great thing for him to speak the world into existence, but to sin that we could draw nigh to him by the blood of Christ. The blood that was shed, the sacrifice that was shed. My mind begins to go back to the story of Ruth in the little book of Ruth and that wonderful picture. And you remember when Ruth, when she came and laid at the feet of Boaz and she said, cover me. She said, cover that, take thy skirt and cover me. And Ruth was saying, be my redeemer, be my covering, be my shield. And today we have a wonderful covering. We have a shield. He's our rock. He's our fortress. And in him we have our being. And I'm just glad to be here today. I don't want to take a lot of time. I'm just so thankful that he came up and took residence in my heart one day. He came. Aren't you glad that Jesus came and took residence in your heart? I don't want to forget what Christ did on Calvary. He said, Paul got to a place where he said, I don't want to know, save anything and to know anything else among you except Christ and him crucified. That's a powerful message about Christ and him crucified when you realize the sacrifice and what he did on Calvary. So I'm just thankful to be here today. My brother-in-law's here, and he's a good preacher. I want to leave some time for him to get up here. I want to put him on the spot. Come on, David, get up. I'll just hand the mic over to you, and you can preach. Come on, Brother David. Maybe we'll go here and talk together. Have you ever seen brother-in-laws preach at the same time? Well, you may not see it today, but I'm just glad. If I could tell you where, you know, sometimes you need an oasis. Little Rock, y'all been an oasis for me today. Oh, si hago lo Dios, adoramos, si. I feel rejuvenated here today. I feel like I found an oasis. I feel like I found an oasis here today. I feel like we can move on in and press up against the veil. I think we need to use that term more among us again, about pressing beyond the veil. I think if we could get past our flesh enough, if we could get past that and move on in and worship in that second heaven condition, I like to press up against that veil. I like to get in that place to where things are happening over in the spirit. I felt something in my spirit change this morning. As we were praying, I could feel it. I could feel something lifting. I could feel something like it just lifted off of me, Brother Smith, that it was just lifting off of me. And I needed that today. Don't leave today until you've got that. Don't leave today if there's things in your life that are hindering you from walking with the Lord. Maybe you need to get planted. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you about getting rooted in this assembly. Maybe God's dealing with your life about establishing things in your life. You know, a wife, did you know a family needs roots? Did you know a woman needs a nest? She needs a place where she can lay down roots in her life. You know, sometimes, you know, a man has, he's searching for God and he's looking for God, and it doesn't bother him to get up and move from place to place. But sometimes a woman and a family, they need roots. They need a steady, that automatic, you know, that autopilot, that's steady for a woman and a family. They need that consistency, getting up, going to school, going to work, going to church, being a part of a church home. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you about that, to lay down roots, whatever he's dealing with you in your life. Let me encourage you to get it from him today and reach up into third heaven and connect into something that's more powerful than you are, because there's life everlasting. So I'm just thankful. I'm glad. Like I said, I want to leave room for Brother David. I could talk for a long time. I've got, my mind is just running. I can encourage you, but maybe my wife could get up and testify. Praise God. I feel the Spirit in here today. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. I feel that Sister Kim needs to get up and testify. I could really get into that mode and start preaching like that, but I'm not going to do that. But I love her, and I love my sister and all of you. I don't have anything but a thankfulness in my heart today for what God has done and where he's brought you. Did you know at nine, I'll give this, I want to say this before I sit down. When I was about 13 years old, it was my second youth meeting here. How many's 13 here today? We have any 13-year-olds in the house? You're 13. I was 13 years old, and I saw all our young brothers up here praying and looking for the Lord today and seeking the Lord. And I was out. We left that meeting. We have a good meeting, Brother Wanager, and you know what I'm going to tell. And we left that meeting, and we went home, and we got on the bus, and somebody said, well, why don't we have church? And I said, all right, let's have church. And so that was kind of like a tradition we had when we leave the Little Rock Youth Meeting, and we would go home, we'd have church on the bus. And so we began to have church, and the Spirit of God just overshadowed that bus. Several people had a vision of angels that were just hovering over that bus. And the Spirit of God was moving in, and we had like six or seven get the Holy Ghost on the way home. We had, that bus was full. We had 35 young people, and the Spirit was so strong and so thick in there. When we got to the church, we just moved right into the sanctuary, and we're running around the church and shouting and praising God. Before this service is over, maybe some of you young people will be running in here. Maybe you need to get free. Maybe you need to have an experience. And so we went home, and as we got in the car, we were still speaking in tongues. And we had myself and three other brethren, and we were on the way home. I was just like this. I was just praying and speaking tongues, and I would just look up and point left. I would be speaking tongues, and I look and point right. And we finally made it home, and Brother Lloyd gave a tongues and interpretation. And he gave a tongues and interpretation. He said, you can be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. And he gave that tongues and interpretation. We got out of that car at 3 o'clock in the morning. We began to run around that car, speaking in tongues, shouting and praising God at 3 in the morning. And my mom ran out of the house. She said, what are y'all doing? Like, neighbors are going to call the police on us. And she yanked us in the house. And we just didn't quit. I mean, we were seeking God so wholeheartedly in our heart and looking for God, wanting something, just begging God, Lord, would you give us more? Would you give us something? Would you feed our hearts? And he said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And we were hungering and thirsting, and so we kept praying, and all of a sudden I felt like that scripture said, and they were all in one accord. I started speaking in tongues, and Brother Lloyd started speaking in tongues. I could tell we were saying the same thing. And it was a new language. It was a language that I had never spoken before. And if you've never experienced the power of what the Holy Ghost can do, let me tell you, it is real. You came too late to tell me that it's not real. You came too late to tell me that experience in the day of Pentecost was just for them back there. No, brother and sister, it's for us today. It's for us today to enjoy, to have, to use in our life. And so we began to speak in tongues. And as I was speaking in tongues, I had a vision of the Lord. It was like I was like this. I was turned around. I was praying like this. But in my mind, I looked this way, and I had a vision of the Lord. And he called me to the ministry that night. And a few minutes later, after that happened, I looked over at Brother Lloyd. I said, you're not going to believe what just happened to me. And he, as I began to talk, he would say every other word. We were like we were finishing each other's sentence. He had the exact same experience right there, Brother Smith. Happened to us. And all four of us, while we were there praying in our house right there on 2113 Blackfoot Trail, Mesquite, Texas, we turned around. We saw two angels there that night. Right there. It was like the Lord would just overshadow us. We saw two angels there that night. And the Lord, and I was so excited. I called Brother Kennedy, my grandpa. I'm a PK, so I'm like Andrew. We're a lot of similars. I'm a PK, and Brother Brett, you know, we're PKs growing up. And I called him at 3:30 in the morning. Now, I call her my meemaw. I'm at home, right? I'm at home here today. And I called and I said, meemaw, you're not going to believe what just happened. You're not. And I was crying. I couldn't hardly talk. You know, I'm a 13-year-old kid. My voice is crying, meemaw, you know. You know, and you're not going to believe what just happened. And so now I didn't know this at the time, but they had kept our poodle. Now, Brother Smith's wearing poodles. Now, we had these little teacup poodles, you know, the little tiny ones. And they had kept our poodle while we were at the meeting. And apparently the poodle had gotten to some rat poison. We didn't know about it. And she put the phone down, and on the other end, she said, Doug, I think the dog just died or something, you know. She thought the dog had died. And I said, no, Meemaw said we just saw two angels, and I could just hear them both start speaking in tongues right there, 3 o'clock in the morning. And you don't know how many times that I've been discouraged, I've been down, and the Lord would just take me back to that experience and let me know, hey, I've still got my hand on you. Even though you are going through hard times, Even though you're going through something, I still got my hand on your life. I'm still holding you. You're sheltered in the arms of God. No matter where you're at today, He loves you, and you are sheltered in His arms. Hallelujah. So I'm glad to be here today. Praise His holy name. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, touch Sister Kim today. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Oh, praise God. I'm a true prophet.
I was just wondering if anybody had a car we could borrow for Chad to drive home by himself. I don't know that any of us want to ride with him after that, but I'm just kidding. I'm so thankful to be here, and we so appreciate your hospitality. It means so much to us to feel a warm, welcoming spirit, and I have to agree that this has been an oasis for us. And, you know, you kind of get weary with certain things and with, you know, life in general and the monotony of things, and then, you know, things you say, way you see things that may not be how they are, and you get bogged down. But to get out of town and cross that Texas border and just kind of breathe and then have that welcoming spirit we felt this morning and all weekend long, it's been a cool drink of water for us. And we're gonna go back to Dallas encouraged and with a good report. And I just want to thank you guys all so much for all the hard work and labor you've put in here in Dallas, and for the encouragement we felt today, and the reassurance that we're not alone in this, and that we're not in an island to ourselves in Dallas. We just have to go a little bit farther up north, and we're over in Little Rock to a little branch of what God's doing here. And so I certainly appreciate you guys, and come see us in Dallas. We love the fellowship. It's been rich this weekend for us, and so we certainly appreciate you all and love you.
Roll it. Go ahead and give the mic there to Sister Christy. Krista, I mean. Oh, by the way, I did want to mention that Brad stole Sister Kim, Chad did, from Mill Shoals, Illinois.
Yes, I did.
Just wanted y'all to know that, you know, that's a pot calling the kettle black.
Thank you, Brother Smith. we're certainly very glad to... Oh, wow, there I am. we don't have that in Dallas. we're very, very glad to be here, and we really appreciate the hospitality that that Brother Mike and Sister Cindy have shown us this weekend and let us stay at their home. We've really appreciated that, and I really appreciate the spirit that we feel in this assembly today, and I feel at home here. It's the same spirit that I feel in Dallas. And Chad was talking about the power of the Holy Ghost, and it kind of just brought back to my memory. This may not be for anybody, but just me, but I am been going through some things just personally. We all have our just day-to-day life, and I had been going through some things just, you know, just as a wife that and a mother that works, and you know, you just kind of get weary. And I want to get my words kind of together, but Chad was talking about the power of the Holy Ghost, and I felt like the Lord had I'd always prayed for myself and for my kids, and I felt like I talked to the Lord one night, and I said, "Lord, are you listening to me? Do you even care anymore about what I'm praying about what I'm asking you for? Do you even care? Are you even listening to me?" And I felt like the Lord answered me, and it was a rebuke. And He said, "Stop being selfish and praying for yourself and start praying for your husband. And I thought, well, Lord, that cannot be me, because, I mean, I know I just didn't think that up. So I thought, Lord, how do I pray? How do I pray for him? And years ago I bought this book, The Power of a Praying Wife, and it started showing me, when I was reading it, the power. I guess what I kind of got from it was the power that the Holy Ghost can have, the power of prayer, and how I can utilize my Holy Ghost, that not just to pray for me, not just to pray for, Lord, help me, but my husband, we are supposed to be one and the same, that when we got married, that's supposed to unite us as one person, and what affects him affects me, it directly affects me, and that I have the power, the Holy Ghost, I have that power within me, that whenever there's something that may be bothering him, I have the power to pray for that, because it can affect me. But it just showed me how I can utilize my Holy Ghost in praying for him and praying for our family, and the power that I have within in me to talk to the Lord and help my situation and help my husband and help myself draw closer to the Lord. And I just, that thought hit me whenever Chad was talking about the power of the Holy Ghost, that we can utilize that power to pray for others and pray for and help ourselves. And that I just felt like I just wanted to share that. Maybe it was just for myself, but I just appreciate what God has given to me, and that I'm learning how to use it, and that it's not just for me just to come down to the front and just say, Lord, would you help me? But it's that I can equip myself, and I can use it every day, all the time, in any situation, that I can use what God has for me, that comforter. It's supposed to be, I'm supposed to use it all the time, and not just, you know, when we go to church on Tuesdays and Fridays and Sundays. It's for Monday through Sunday, 24/7. I'm supposed to use my Holy Ghost to help me overcome what I have in my life, and that the Lord can help me, and he can show me things, and I'll use that it's just the power. There's so much power that he has that we can use to help us in our life. And I just appreciate what I've felt here today, and I thank everyone for their hospitality, and just, you know, I just appreciate this assembly, and I thank you very much. And it's your turn, David.
Well, I wanted to get up and thank God for getting my hearing aids, and I've been waiting for a long time, and I'm glad I can hear, and I love you all. Thankful for the Dallas Church being here tonight or today. I love you all.
Praise God. All right.
Brother Fred Neptune's grandchildren. I came in under Brother Freddie Neptune, and he had a small church over North Little Rock, and I got my eyes open to the body of Christ. It was 1950, And I know Brother Fred would be so proud of his grandchildren. I say proud. We're not supposed to say proud, but I know he'd be so thankful, you know, to see his grandchildren. And I never forget, you know, that little church. And I just wanted to say how thankful I am to see y'all going on.
like that. Well, I'm thankful to be here. I feel like you ever seen one of, heard about one of those, the new thing is internet dating and meeting somebody online. And you talk to a girl online and say, what do you look like? She says, well, I'm 5'7", blonde. People compare me to this. And then you meet her, and she turns out to be Bucktooth Bertha, 5'2". As tall as she is wide. So right now I kind of feel like Bertha. I would like to say that I am thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the homes that have been made open to us, and for the love that I feel. That's one thing that's very important to me. If I don't feel that you truly care about me, I don't not have anything to do with you, but I don't put a lot of stock into you. That's just the way I'm built. It's not right, it's not wrong, but that's just who I am. And I know that Brother Mike, Brother Brett, Brother Andrew would do what they needed to. They've taken good care of us. And here a couple months ago, I got to talk to Brother Smith for a minute, and I felt a sincerity in his heart. And like I said, I look for that. You know, you can't judge every man's motives. You can't, there are things you can't know. But I felt sincerity, and I appreciated that when he talked to me. I am at a point in my life right now where I'm looking for the Lord, really digging, trying to find the Lord, trying to find what He wants me to do, how He wants me to lead my family. I have to find that. And it's a period in my life where I'm learning, realizing I should have been there a lot earlier, but I'm learning. And I think everybody goes through that period where they're just, you know, thirsting and hungering for knowledge and inspiration and different things. And I'm enjoying it. I'm really, really enjoying that. I'm really digging and striving and learning and searching for that inspiration. I think about, not that I'm anywhere near, but I think about Abraham. I think about Paul. I think about Moses, who they had nothing. We have a Bible with all these great teachings and history of these men who had nothing. Abraham was the first man to believe in monotheism. He was the first person to believe that there's only one God. And that was radical. And, he had to have been talking to his friends that had 16 gods, and that they said, well, you know, I don't know, but you believe in one. I've got 16. They can be, you know, two or three of them probably beat your one up. but Abraham, he was moved on by God. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He was moved on. I can't get over that. I never had it quite like that. But I'm searching for that. I can't. It's not wrong to learn from other men. It's good. That's the way we learn most things. People say that, you know, I've carved my own way out. Well, probably have, but most of it, you're a product of your environment and your raising. But Abraham, God touched him and inspired his mind. And so when I read through these things, this history and all the wonderful teachings that have been given to this group of people, I'm not rejecting. I'm not casting away at all. I'm looking for it, trying to find inspiration like what Abraham had. Because if the Lord reveals it to me like he did Abraham, I'll never be able to let it go. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for stability. I'm looking for something I can stand on. I'm looking for something I can build my family on. And I'm finding that my rock is Christ. And my rock is the Lord. I look at my children, and they're 4 and 3 and 9 months, and I realize right now I'm shaping their life. I'm shaping them into what they're going to be when they're my age. And I'm responsible for what they're going to be at my age. And so because of that, that's what's really spawned me and pushed me into this searching and continual hunger and thirst for truth. That's what this body is built on, is that continual search, the threshing floor, the continual, until we've restored the church, that continual hunger. That's what Brother Souders had. That's what many of these men have, and many of the men that have come before us, that's what they had. What else would drive Paul to forsake all he knew, all he'd been raised up in, and completely, Paul, who was Saul, who slayed Christians, he killed Christians. But because he was searching for truth, you know, Jesus, yes, Jesus touched his heart, but if he hadn't been open, he could have dismissed it. He could have passed it off. He could have said, well, yeah, I was on a hallucinogen that kind of goofed me up. but Paul was searching for truth. And that when he was, he talks about it in many different places, but he was searching. And the Lord revealed himself unto him. That's what the Lord, I feel, is looking for in me, is to continue digging and to continue finding. And he's revealed a lot of these teachings to me. Before I knew them, before I had knowledge of them, before I had studied them, but the Lord has started to reveal things where I'm reading in the Bible and something just illuminates. You know, it doesn't you know, jump off the page in a light, but it clicks in my head. And the Lord shows me, Brother Smith, this morning in the Bible study was talking about the way you were teaching this morning, and he was talking about, this is what's made the most sense to me. That's what light bulbed in your head. And until somebody can show it to you and the Lord can light bulb that in your head, you're not changing. There's nothing wrong. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want. I want the Lord to give me revelations like that I can't deny. I want him to give me experiences that I cannot deny. You know, there have been times, because I do like to study and I am trying to dig deep, I find all kinds of things that are negative. If you dig hard enough, I think last I heard something like 16% of our population is atheist. They no longer believe in a God, because how do you prove your God? You know, what do you hand an atheist that they can touch and put their hands on that they can't deny? Not one thing. And there's creationists, they try to say, well, look, the grass grows this way, and it grows in such a way that the cow can eat it, and it goes into the cow's four stomachs. that it needs to chew the, and the cow is such a wonderful, and they try to say that's evidence of our God. Yes, I believe that, but I can't prove it. What is the one thing you can't deny? An experience. So what do you have to tell an atheist? You need to meet my God. You know, I can't show you something tangible. I can't give you something to put your hands on and wrap around and show to somebody else. It doesn't work that way. That's why a lot of people have thought Abraham was a nut. What did he have to show? You know, we can point to miracles. Yes, we can point to miracles, but they can all be explained away with coincidence. But what can't be explained away? It's that spirit that we feel down here. It's that spirit that I feel. It's that spirit that inspires and moves and drives us. That's the one thing that cannot be denied. And that's the one thing science, by the way, can't explain. They can explain and rationalize everything out about, you know, we've evolved and all this and all that and the other, but they cannot explain emotion. They've tried. And I've studied that because that's where my curiosity has taken me. But they cannot explain emotion. They can't explain feelings. They can't explain feeling the Spirit. They try, but there's nothing that can explain it. So that's what I'm digging for, and that's what I'm looking for. When I read this Bible, when I talk to people, when I hear a sermon like this morning, I'm looking for that inspiration. I'm looking for that feeling of the Spirit that I know I can't deny. And when I hear it, I grab it. And when I hear it, I'm going to grab it. And there's nothing that's going to be able to take that away from me. A lot of you elder people, you have it, and you look at some of us younger people and you say, you just don't understand how you goofballs can't see this. I mean, it's right here in front of you. We've laid it out, spelled it out. We put it in writing. You want a class on how to feel the Spirit? I can tell you because I've found it. But it doesn't work that way. The only way that you're going to save a young person is for them to get that relationship that you have for themselves. Amen. And that's the only thing that's going to carry this group of people on. That's the only thing that's going to carry us on into what we believe we're to be, the teaching of restoring the church. How else are we going to get it? If we had it all right now, we'd be restored and we'd be there. It would be evident. There's a song that is kind of I don't buy into everything of it, but it's written out in mainstream Christianity, and it says, if we are the body, why aren't these arms reaching? Why aren't these hands healing? And I look at that, and that's part of, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's part of the evidence that we still need to be restored. What's going to restore us? Hungering and thirsting after the Lord. Nothing that I've done is going to hold any weight. I used to think that way. Growing up, I used to think that if I did so much right, I would have a gauge of righteousness. And once I got to this level, the Lord would give me power. And then when I got to this level, He'd give me more. Maybe when I got to this level, He'd let me be a pastor. But I'm finding the only thing that the Lord honors in my life is hungering and searching for truth, trying to find His Spirit, trying to mirror His Spirit. Then the righteousness will be there. But the righteousness, because I've done good works, doesn't make me any more worthy if I have a heart just to do good works, or a heart after that seat. So the Lord's shown me that, and I'm searching. I know I'm wearing that out, but I am searching. Yeah. I'm digging through. I'm digging all the way back to Abraham. I'm digging back to Paul. You know, what did Paul really mean? When we're reading that beautiful poetry in Romans 7 where it talks about the battle in our heart and our, you know, what was Paul exactly referring to? The thorn in Paul's flesh. What was it? Lord, I want to know because I want my life to be solidified in you. I want to have confidence. I have confidence, but I want to have more. I want to be a rock. I want that rock to be in my heart. I want that. I want what Peter had when the Lord looked upon him and said, this rock. You know, I wasn't talking about Peter himself, but he was talking about that spirit, that belief. Not that Satan spirit that he had, but that belief and that rock. So I that's a snapshot into my life. And if the Lord can use that, then I want to be used. But I don't want to put God in my box. I don't want God to have to conform to my ideals and my expectations. I don't want God to have to, because He won't. He will for a little while, but He won't always funnel in the way I expect Him to. He won't always come through the back door the way I expect Him to. So I just felt to give that. I don't know if I'm in the Lord's will or not, but that's what He's doing in my life, and if He can use a vessel like me, then I'm willing. I know. I used to think that I was something else. I mean, when I was a little 16, 17 year old punk kid running around here in y'all's meetings, I thought I could do something. I got up there on that bass and thought that I knew something. And got on the drums and I thought I knew something. And then I meet somebody like Joel who makes me sick that I can't. He's 20 years old. Got more talent in his pinky finger than I do in my entire body. I realize that I'm nothing. God, I don't have anything that God can't do without. I don't have an IQ higher than the age I hope to be. I don't have anything that the Lord can't manufacture in somebody else. And learning that's been an experience. But realizing that has been a blessing. It's oh Lord. To realize that I am nothing but a pot of clay that can be used for water or used for excrement. I'm nothing. We're nothing. God doesn't need us. God said it. He said, Jesus said that if I silence them, the rocks would cry out. Paul said, I count it all but dung. Everything he learned. I'm nothing. We're nothing. We're blessed to be in the Lord's favor. We're blessed that He has touched our minds, that we've been allowed to have that experience and that relationship with Him. That's it. That's that connection that was cut off by Adam, that was restored by Jesus, is the only thing that I take glory in. Is the only thing that I worship. Is the only thing that I say, Lord, You have given me. Is because that's the only thing. You know, we shy away from songs that say, Jesus, You're all I need. Because we don't want to discount. But really, without the Lord, where are we? Without Jesus, we have no right to eternal life. We have nothing we've done that earns it. And that's in itself liberating. It does good for my soul to know that I'm not responsible. That if I run to God in everything, and I search for God in everything, He is responsible to lead me. If I have that right spirit, if I have that right desire, that right motive to see His people blessed, then He can use me. He can use me. He can use me, and He can use you. Like I said, I'm thankful that I'm here. I all the things that have happened to me in this building, the spirit that I have received, the things that I have felt, the love that I've been shown, the love that I've, that's another thing real briefly that the Lord's shown me, is you want to know how to win that atheist that you can't give him anything he can put his hands on. You love him. That's one thing that this group has excelled in, is we've realized that's how you open up that pipeline to Christ, is you love them and allow them to come in. You show a new person that you care. That's the only way that I can sell insurance, which is what I do for a living. I can't help any of you here because you're in a different state, but so don't worry, I'm not going to come out. But that's the only way I've found that I can sell somebody insurance, is if I believe in it and I show them that I care enough about them that I'll be there. I'm selling me, because, you know, what would you rather do if your house burns down at 3 o'clock in the morning? Would you rather call a 1-800 number, or would you rather call someone who's going to get up and get their shoes on and go take care of you? So in saying that, that's the only way we can sell what we have, is by loving, by showing people that, look, this is what my Lord's shown me to do. You know, you can believe in God or you can deny Him, but my Lord has shown me to love you, and that's what I'm going to do. And then that breaks up and opens up that heart and allows it to accept. You know, people have been done wrong by Christianity. People have been hurt. People have been, even in this group, people have been misused. I've seen men stand behind a pulpit and build a kingdom to themselves. So they draw up. They say, I'm not going to let anybody touch me. I'm not going to let anybody deal with me. I'm not going to let anybody put anything in my heart. But when you show them that your best interest is for them, then they'll start to open up. And they'll start to receive. And then they'll start to let the Lord in. That's the way we can win people, and that's what I'm trying to do. That's one of the things the Lord's shown me, and that's one of the things that I'm still searching out. So I don't want to take too much time with my ramblings, but you asked me to speak. But one more time, thank you all for letting us be here. We've enjoyed it. We love the spirit we feel, love the people, and love the love that we've been shown.
verse up for me? So many times I've questioned certain circumstances, the things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded, Lord, I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Many times I question certain circumstances, the things I could not understand. Chris is singing. Many times in trials, a weakness blurs my vision. And my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. That's when I look at all the victories and the Spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
Praise the Lord.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision and the adversary says give in, won't you just hold on? Our Lord will show up. Hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in. Hold on, our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing
hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. So many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. And many times the trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. So when I look at all the victories, and the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire, my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said hell would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Won't you just hold on? Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, won't you give in? Oh, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in. Oh, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, that is through the fire, my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in. Won't you just hold on? Because our Lord will show up. Heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary. Heavy.